The warden of heaven deflected Jessery's suggestion with a humorous remark that his aides thought was funny. "You ever look at bugs under a lens?" Jessery tried. "That'd be good preparation for this. They look so different from anything we normally experience that it's easy to be kind of stunned and bewildered by their appearance at first. But if you can get past that emotional reaction, you can see how they work. How do they transmit their weight to the ground? Count the orifices. Look for symmetries. Observe periodicities, by which I mean how often do they breathe. From that, we can make inferences about their metabolism." One of the aides cut Jessery short by telling him it was time to pray. The suit was all on now, except for the helmet. The warden's head, unrecognizable under the earphones, the mic, the heads-up goggles, poked up out of a huge, rigid carapace. He held hands with his aides as best as he could through the bulky gloves. They closed their eyes and said something in unison. A loud metallic pop crunch interrupted them.
"Contact!" someone called. "We have been grappled by a remote manipulator."
The spelecaptor swung past a crew member, checking his watch, and aimed back out the dirty window to focus on the bogey. This was a skeletal craft, altogether mechanical. No pressurized compartments where a cousin might ride along. Just a frame with half a dozen robot arms of various sizes and thruster nozzles, spotlights, and dish antennas pointed every which way. One of its arms had reached out and grabbed an antenna bracket on the outside of the capsule. Things happened fast now. The helmet had already been clamped down over the Warden of Heaven's head, and crew members had shooed away the aids and were manipulating the suit's controls. Through the bubble, the warden's eyes could be seen moving back and forth uncertainly, responding to inscrutable hisses and creaks from the suit as its systems came alive. His lips moved and he nodded and gave thumbs-up signs as communications were tested. They pushed him through a pressure hatch at one end of the capsule, closed it behind him, and turned a wheel to dog it shut. He was in the airlock. "Why is he going alone?" I asked.
"Supposedly, that's how the geometers wanted it," Saman said. "Send one," they said.
"So we sent him?" Saman shrugged.
"But that's part of the geometers' strategy, isn't it? If we were allowed to send a whole delegation, we could hedge our bets. But if the whole planet is allowed to send only one representative, whom do we pick? That tells them a lot."
"Yeah, but why—" Saman cut me off with an even more exaggerated shrug.
"You seriously expect me to be able to explain why the secular power makes the decisions it makes?"
"Okay. Sorry. Never mind." Hisses and clanks and terse utterances from the crew signaled the opening of the airlock's outer door. A small arm unfolded itself from the geometer's robot probe and reached toward the ship, out of view of this window. When it drew back, a few moments later, it brought the Warden of Heaven with it. The arm's steely hand had gripped a metal bracket that projected from the suit's round shoulder, a lifting point. The geometers understood our engineering and knew a bracket for a bracket. The bogey disengaged from the capsule and fired a puff of gas to get itself drifting away, then, after a few seconds, ignited larger thrusters that accelerated it toward the icosahedron. The Warden of Heaven waved back at us.
"Everything is okay,"
he announced over the wireless. Then his voice was replaced by a harsh buzzing tone. A crew member turned it down.
"They're jamming us," he announced. "His serenity is on his own."
"No," said an aide. "God is with him." The spelecaptor zoomed in on the warden, being drawn backwards towards the icosahedron. He was getting harder to see, even at maximum zoom, but it looked like he was gesticulating, tapping his helmet and throwing up his hands in confusion.
"Okay, we get it," Jessery said. "You can't hear."
"I'm worried about his pulse, way too high for a man his age," said a crew member.
"You've still got telemetry?" Jessery asked.
"Just barely. They jammed Vox first. Now they are attacking the other channels." "Nope, lost it. Bye-bye."
"The geometers are some kind of military hard asses," Saman said,
perhaps unnecessarily. The video went on with little further commentary until the robot probe and the warden had shrunk to a tiny cluster of gray pixels. Then it cut out and went to black. Saman paused it.
In the original, what follows is 4 hours of basically nothing, he said. They just sit there and wait. Your friend Jesri baits the warden's toadies into a philosophical debate and crushes them. After that, no one wants to talk. There is only one event of note, which is that after about 1 hour, the jamming stops.
Really? So they can talk to the warden again?
I didn't say that. The jamming signals are turned off, but they can't get any data from the warden's spacesuit. Most likely, what it means is that the suit had been shut down.
Because something happened to the Warden of Heaven, or
most people think he got out of the suit. Since it was no longer necessary, it was turned off to conserve power.
That implies
that the Hedron, as people are calling it, has an atmosphere we can breathe, yes,
Saman said.
Or that the Warden was dead on arrival.
The Warden of Heaven's dead? Saman started the spiele playing again. The time code in the corner had jumped forward a few hours.
New signal from the Hedron, announced a tired crew member.
Repetitive pulses, microwaves, high power. I'd say they are illuminating us with radar.
Like they don't already know where we are, someone scoffed.
Cut the chatter,
ordered the voice I'd come to think of as the captain's.
Do you think they are acquiring us?
As in acquiring a target for a weapons launch,
Saman translated.
Well, it's definitely that kind of a narrow beam signal, said the other. But steady, not homing in.
Activity on the base plate, Jesri called. Dead center.